Bruchim Haboyim, everybody, and a lichtige Chanukah. What a schus to be able to have the Parsha Shir and approach Shabbos Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, Parshas Miketz, and a lichtige Chanukah and a Guten Chodesh. What a schus. The Shir this week is being sponsored. Lezeche Nishmas, Ule'ili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel, Be'ezus Hashem, the Neshama Tahira should have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden, which certainly takes on an added dimension during Chanukah, when we wish a lichtige Chanukah. It's also being sponsored this week by Rabbi Levy and Debbie Cash. We're very grateful to the Cash family for their sponsorship of this year. It's to commemorate the yahrzeit of Debbie's father, Harav Yitzchok Pinchas Ben Reb David, whose yahrzeit was actually last week on the 19th of Kislev. Once again, we're so grateful to Rabbi Levy and Debbie Cash for their sponsorship of this year. And please keep in mind Debbie's father, whose yahrzeit was last week, Harav Yitzchok Pinchas Ben Reb David, his neshama tahira should have a lichtige Gan Eden. Let's try to learn some lessons from Parshas Miketz and to tie it in to Chanukah as well. And hopefully we'll be inspired, and as always, for those that are in the Heichal, those that are listening live, those who will, Bezus Hashem, hear the recording, let it give an added dimension, as we said, Parshas Miketz and Shabbos Chanukah and Aguten Chodesh, to be able to enhance and bring even more Kedusha into our lives. What is well known is that the three things that the Yevonim created a decree against was Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. Chodesh, of course, a reference to Rosh Chodesh, Mila, Bris Mila, and Shabbos. Let's try to analyze, and we spoke out part of this last year, let's try to analyze why is it that the Yevonim specifically wanted to make a decree against these three things. How do we see references to this in Parshas Miketz? And then we find that Yosef gave Paro advice regarding the dreams. What's the connection between the mitzvahs that they sought to outlaw, the Yevonim, Parshas Miketz, and that which Yosef told Paro? Again, part of what we mentioned, let's add to it, Be'ezras Hashem. We said a moment ago that the three things that the Yevonim wanted to create, did create a decree to outlaw, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. You can actually see a reference to this as the Bnei Yisachar in the Parsha, because if a person takes a look, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, after Yosef told Paro that the dream meant there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine, he said that you should prepare the land, V'chimesh Es Eretz Mitzrayim, prepare the land, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, prepare the land for the famine that's about to come. How do you spell the word chimesh, which means to prepare, ches mem shin, which is Rashi Tevois, chodesh, mila, and Shabbos? Extraordinary, the Bnei Yisachar, Zechus Yagalenu, was telling us, apparently, that when Yosef was telling Paro, v'chimesh es eretz Mitzrayim, to prepare the land of Egypt, he was talking in an agricultural sense. But apparently, says the Bnei Yisachar, there was a deeper meaning that he was telling Klal Yisrael, when we prepare in Golos, v'chimesh, we have to prepare by strengthening ches mem shin, chodesh, mila, Shabbos. Precisely the three things that the Yevonim wanted to outlaw and created a decree against. Why specifically those three? The Bnei Yisachar tells us, Hatzad HaShova, the commonality between those three. They are unique and special in the sense that while it's true for a number of mitzvahs to a degree, but these three, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos, the very foundation, the very essence and pnimius of these three mitzvahs is the fact that they cause the Shekhinah to rest amongst Klal Yisrael. We've mentioned on other occasions regarding Yavon, why is it so important to seek out the essence and pnimius specifically when it comes to Yavon and it comes to Chanukah? We mentioned in other shiurim that Harav Zev left Shlita, Soll er gesund und stark sein points out that the letters, as we said even recently, of Yavon, Yud, Vav, and Nun, they are unique in the sense that those three letters have no panemius. If you think about the Yud, the Vav, and the En Nun, every other letter, if you envision it right now in your mind, has some inner airspace. With the sole exception, I should say, of these three, the Yud, Vav, and En Nun, there's no inner space, there's no essence, there's no panemius. Because the Yavanim, the Greeks, precisely wanted to stress the chitzonius, outward, the gashmius, the physical, the materialism. There have you believe that that's the end-all, be-all. No pnimius. Think of those three letters. Again, they have no inner airspace at all. Representing the mahus and essence of Yavan is no pnimius, no essence. It should all be about the physical, the materialism, all of the gashmius. The way to defeat Yavan is by seeking out our pnimius, looking for our deepest essence, deep in the nefesh, who we truly are. That's the way to defeat Yavan. To put less stress on the materialism, the gashmius, the physicality, the outward, and put the proper stress and the proper koiches on the pnimius, the essence. This is deep in our nefesh who we truly are. And that's why I mentioned regarding these three mitzvahs of Chimesh, Ches, Mem, Shin, Chodesh, Milan, Shabbos, we specifically look for the essence of these three, the foundation, the pnimius, the inside, if you will, of these three. And the B'nai Yisrael says these three, at their very core, are the mitzvahs that cause the Shechina to reside and rest amongst Klal Yisrael. You see that, of course, by Bris Milah. The moment that the Yid has the Bris, all of a sudden he becomes a vessel for the Shechina to dwell within him. If you take a look in Parshas Vayera, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, take a look at the end of Perek Yud Zayin, the beginning of Yud Ches, the end of Lech Lecha, the beginning of Vayera, the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Avram Avinu. When did he appear to Avram Avinu? Immediately after Avram Avinu performed Bris Milah. Because Milah brings the Shechina within the person. It helps us find our essence, our Mahus, which, as I said a moment ago in the Vart from Reb Zev Lef, is the antithesis of Yavan. Yavan has no panemius. It's all the chitzonius, the external. We look for the panemius of the mitzvah, and Bris Milah brings about the Shechina to reside within the vessel known as the nefesh, the person. Similarly, Shabbos. Shabbos accomplishes the same about allowing the Shechina to be within our home. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos. Lasoi says a Shabbos l'dayreisam. L'dayreisam for their generations is actually spelled deficiently without the vav. And it's pronounced l'dirasam. What's a dira? A dira is, of course, a dwelling. Shabbos allows the Shechina to dwell within the home. Shabbos is not only l'dayreisam, it's l'dirasam. It's allowing the Shechina to dwell and find a resting place within Klal Yisrael. And finally, we have Rosh Chodesh. Every month we have Kiddush Levana, and when we greet the Shechina, we go out to greet the Shechina, and what do we say? Il mole lezoch Yisrael el hakvil pnei avine avien shebashemayim kol chodesh v'chodesh dayam. If only it would be that we were privileged to greet the Shechina, the countenance of Hashem, each and every month, it would have sufficed. In other words, what Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush Levana accomplishes is that it brings about the presence of the Shechina. Perhaps I just want to add one dimension that saying over these three, I thought perhaps you could say, all three have the commonality that they bring the Shechina to reside and to dwell within us. Perhaps each one is in a different dimension. If you think about it, Bris Milah, that causes the Shechina to dwell within the person, the nefesh. It could be Shabbos, l'dirasam, causes the Shechina to dwell within our home. And it could be that Kiddush Levana, that we go outside, shalom aleichem, aleichem o shalom, shalom aleichem o shalom, that causes the Shechina to dwell within Klal Yisrael and Am Yisrael in general. So I just wanted to add that dimension to what the Bnei Yisachar says. Perhaps, certainly we see that the Tzara Shov of these three is that all three in their essence, and we already mentioned on two occasions why we look for the essence, the Mahus, the Pnimius, that's the greatest way to destroy and attack Yavon of today. These three bring the Shechina into our midst. Perhaps we could say, as we said a moment ago, Bris Milah brings it within the person, within one's nefesh. Shabbos L'dirosam brings it within our homes. And Kiddush Levana brings it within, as we say, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem HaShalom, we're uniting within Klal Yisrael in general. Be it as it may, the foundation and essence of these three is that it causes the Shechina to rest and reside amongst us. And now we get to Parshas Miketz. Yosef understood this. Yosef understood that Klal Yisrael was starting and having to endure a long and funereal galus. He understood that there are physical dangers and there are spiritual dangers. And so while he was talking to Paro in terms of a chimesh, prepare in an agricultural sense, prepare the land, he was certainly also referring to tell the Jew the message, you have to prepare for galus in a spiritual sense. You have to prepare for a long and funereal galus to make sure, especially when you'll be in such a debased society like Mitzrayim, they need to prepare physically, we need to prepare spiritually. So the Chimesh was a message to Paro, prepare the land in an agricultural sense, but it was a message to Klal Yisrael, whenever you're in Golos, whenever you're in Golos, it's starting with Golos Mitzrayim, and there will be other times. We're in Golos now, a Golos of almost 2,000 years. Chimesh, prepare with those three, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. Why those three specifically? Because those are the three that allow the Shechina to be with us. The Gemara at the end of Megillah says that when we're in Golos, the Shechina is with us in Golos. But at least to survive, we need to make our nefesh, our home, and our nation a place that the Shechina feel comfortable. And that's why he sent that message to Paro, which subliminally was a message in a spiritual sense for Klal Yisrael, for Golos Mitzrayim, and every subsequent Golos. Rabbeisai, there's going to be an exile again and again. And one can only survive with the Shechina and with bringing Hashem into your nefesh and into your home and into Klal Yisrael. And that brings us to the lighting of the menorah, because if one takes a look, Chazal tells us it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Chof Beis, Eidos hi leboi oilam shehashchina shayra b'Yisrael. The entire purpose of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Meira v'raboisai, do you hear those words? The entire purpose of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Leba'e oilam, it was edus, it was a testimony for mankind, shehashchina shayra b'Yisrael, that the Shechina dwells within Klal Yisrael. We mamish see this theme again and again. The way to make sure to survive in Golos, and to thrive, I should say, hoping and being maminim for the Gula Shalema, is by making sure that the Shechina is on every level with us. That's the message of Chanukah, how to defeat the Yevonim. That's the message of that Yosef was giving to Paro and Parshas Miketz in the interpretation of how to prepare for the definition of the dreams. And that, says the Gemara in Shabbos, was the point in the lighting of the menorah each and every day. This is what the Yevonim wanted to sever. This is what the Yevonim, through attacking against Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos, through creating L'Hashgicham Teiresecha, wanting us to forget our Torah and our connection to Hashem, is what the Yevonim were seeking to uproot, because they understood when the Jew removes the godliness, when a Jew removes the Shekhinah, the divine presence, we don't stand a chance. The Yevonim, in their evil and diabolical way, wanted to do this from the earliest stages of the Jew. We know the very famous Chazal that tell us that they had written on the Keren HaShor, the horn of the shore, the ox, that we do not have a chelek with Elokei Yisrael, with our God, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why were those words written specifically on Keren HaShor? Why was that the most prominent place to write that devastating comment, Chalila, Chalila, that a Jew should see that we don't have a chelek apart with Elokei Yisrael? One of the explanations tell us so powerfully, because in those days when a baby would have a baby bottle, as I mentioned on Shabbos, the baby bottle, not like we know today, the baby bottle then was a Keren HaShor. When a baby would drink as an infant, the bottle in which the milk, whatever the baby was drinking, was in a Keren HaShor. So the Yevanim wanted those words written specifically on a Keren HaShor because that was the baby bottle that the Kinderlach of a few months old would use. And they wanted the Yevanim wanted that even at that age of a few months, the eye should see those words that you have no chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. How evil, how diabolical. They wanted to remove the Shekhinah, the godliness. We shouldn't have that gefil. And so that's why, according to this explanation, it was specifically on Keren HaShor, because the horn of an ox was the ancient baby bottle, and that a youth should see that at a few months old. And that's what we have to make sure chalila doesn't happen. That's why I saw a beautiful explanation brought down from Harav Noach Isaac Olbaum, Shlita. Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, he explains, that's why we light with an oil wick. If you think about it, an oil light, as we said on Shabbos Kodesh, has three components. There's the oil, then there's the wick, and then there's the flame. And one draws into the other. The oil is drawn into the wick. The wick is then drawn and creates the flame. The fact that there's three and one is drawn into the other is a reference to our generations, our hemshech hadoros, a chain of our continuity, just like the flame is nourished from the wick, which is nourished and drawn from the oil, one to the next, so too, that's the way our generations are. There must be a chain, a continuity, a hemshech hadoros. It was that the Yevanim were seeking to go ahead and abolish. Hence, they had that sentence written specifically on the ancient baby bottle, the Keren HaShor. But we light the oil to remind us, the oil into the wick, into the ner. It's the Hemshech HaDoros. It's drawing the nourishment one from the other that keeps us going. Rav Noach Isaac Olbaum Shlita says so beautifully, that's drawn into our nefesh. Nefesh is spelled Nun Fei Shin. Nun Fei Shin stands for these three, Ner, Psila, and Shemen. Ner, of course, a reference to the flame. Psila, of course, a reference to the wick. And Shemen, of course, a reference to the oil. That's what we said. You have to draw the Shekhinah into your nefesh. You have to bring the godliness into Klal Yisrael, into your home and into your nefesh. And nefesh, he says so beautifully, Nun Fei Shin is Rashi Tevois. Ner, Psila, Shemen. The flame, which gets that nourishment and is drawn from the Psila, the wick, which comes from the Shemen, the oil. And that's what we think about when we light the oil, the Hemshech HaDoros, the continuity, the chain within Klal Yisrael. That's what the Yevanim specifically, precisely, were seeking to abolish, to uproot. And that's what today, Tovshin Pei Gimel, we're working so hard to make sure the Shechina is within our nefesh, is l'dirasam, and is within Klal Yisrael. And that's really what the miracle of Chanukah represents. I mentioned on Shabbos an explanation brought down from Reb Chaim Brim, who expounds upon it Ramban. I know we said it in the drasha on Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, people found it to be something that inspired their being Madlik Neiros on the Menorah, and I hope with the remaining nights of Chanukah, it will inspire you as well, and it really ties together the concept we've been speaking about since we started this year. Reb Chaim Brim brings down, and one can look at the Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Baloischa, Rashi speaks it out, the Tanchuma brings it down, the Medrash brings it down, and the Ramban on that Pasuk, Baloischa Saneris, open up Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Baloischa, Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph, look at Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph, at the Ramban who speaks it out in great detail. And we mentioned this on Shabbos. Let's quickly mention it again to try to tie the entire shir thus far together. Rashi tells us, Baloisches HaNeiros, in the name of the Tanchuma, that when Aaron saw the Nesiim bringing their karbonos, Chol She'oz Daitoi, he had, so to speak, Chalishus Hadas. Why? Because his shevet wasn't included in the carbon of the Nesiim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Aaron, Chayecha, Shalecha Gedayla Mishalahem, you'll see yours is greater than theirs, because you're Madlik Umeitiv Es HaNeiros. You're involved in lighting and preparing the Neiros. And that pacified, that brought the proper comfort to Aaron, knowing that he was going to have the lighting of the Menorah. A little bit later on, when quoting a Chazal, and the Ramban brings it down, the Karbonos Kol Zman Beis HaMikdash Kayim, whenever there's a Beis HaMikdash, there are Karbonos. Aval HaNeiros La'olam, but the Menorah, the Neiros, are for perpetuity La'olam. Moira V'Rabbeisai, we have to ask and take a look at the Ramban, as I said, who brings it down in great detail. We have to ask two questions. Number one, when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to allow Aaron to be satisfied and to feel a proper nechama, he said, don't worry, don't have Chalisha Hadas, because they are bringing the Karbonos of the Nesiim, but you, your Shevet will be Madlik, the Neiros of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. There were so many things, says the Ramban clearly, that the Ribbono Shel Olam could have given him nechama with. He could have spoken to him about specific karbonos that only the Kayanim bring. He could have spoken to him about the Ketores. He could have spoken to him about the Avayda on Yom HaKippurim. There's a long list the Ramban brings down of things that the Ribbono Shel Olam could have pacified and satisfied Aaron with. Why specifically the Menorah? Well, all those other things I mentioned are also specific to Aaron and his shevet. So why was the thing per se that gave Aaron nechama the lighting of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? There are many other things the Ribbono Shel Olam could have said, as the Ramban brings down, that were specific to him and to his shevet. Secondly, we have to ask a question. What do the Mefarshim mean when they say the Beis HaMikdash, when it exists, Karbonos exists, but Neiros, the Menorah, is La'olam? What do you mean that the Neiros of the Menorah are La'olam? When the Batei HaMikdash were destroyed, and the Karbonos and the Ketores and all the things we mentioned no longer existed, the Menorah no longer existed. The Menorah was no longer lit in the Beis HaMikdash. So what, pray tell, do Chazal mean when they say, HaNeiros La'olam? What do you mean La'olam? The same way all the other things I mentioned on the list are bottle and no longer exist when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's the same thing with the Menorah. The Menorah is no longer lit in the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So what do you mean, HaNeiros La'olam? What's La'olam? Both questions, the Ramban answers, and Reb Chaim Brim speaks about it in Marva Chaim in great, great detail. The Ramban brings down, it says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam was talking to Aaron about, you're going to be Madlik the Menorah, it was referring to a Chanukah Acheres. It was referring to a different lighting of the Menorah. Meirei V'Rabbeisai, it was not referring only to the lighting of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. But there would be in the future, in the times of the Chashmonaim defeating the Yevonim, another Hadlachas HaNeiris. The Rambam brings down, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to do for Klal Yisrael Nisim and Teshua and many great things, and that's known as Chanukah's B'nei Chashmonai. And the Ramban is telling us that when the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Aaron, you should be satisfied and pacified, and he said, because you're going to be Mablik the Neiris. It wasn't only referring to the Menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. It was referring to the Menorah that was lit in the story of Chanukah. It was referring to the Menorah that we light today. The Menorah that we lit a couple of hours ago for the third night of Chanukah. That's Menorah. That's the Menorah that the Ribbono Shel Olam meant. And that's what the Lashon means when it says, HaNeirais La'olam. Because it's true, all the other things, the Karbonos, the Keteris, the Avoida, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, they no longer exist. But since we're talking about a Chanukah Acheres, we're talking about a lighting of a Menorah that we light till today, we lit a few hours ago. That lighting of the Menorah, which is the Menorah that the Ribbono Shel Olam was referring to when he spoke to Aaron and said, Shalachah G'day Mishalahem, it wasn't only the lighting of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but the lighting of the Menorah that started in the times of the Chashmonai when they defeated the Yevanim and continues till today. That lighting of the Menorah, Le'olam. That's Taka forever. That's for perpetuity. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Aaron. He wasn't referring only to the Menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. But the lighting of the Menorah that would happen in the Chanukah story with the Chashmonaim defeating the Yevonim, Rabim Biad Ma'atim, Giborim Biad Chaloshim, that Menorah that we lit for the third night of Chanukah but a few short hours ago, that's the Menorah, says the Ramban, that it's a reference to, and that Menorah is La'olam. I must mention before I conclude this explanation, you could see it in Mar B'Chaim as well. A dear chaver of mine, who's a mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael, Reb Rachamim Raymond, that I actually mentioned this on Shabbos, I'd like to say it in his name. He's been a dear chaver of mine for a number of decades, Reb Rachamim Raymond, who's a mashkiach today. He saw this pshat from the Ramban, Rashi, the Tanchuma, elaborated in Mar B'Chaim from Reb Chaim Brim, and he came up with a chiddush. It is such a spectacular chiddush. One cannot even put the chiddush into words. A raya to this Ramban and a pshat that the Menorah we're referencing is La'olam. If one takes a look in the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim, open up a machzor, as we said on Shabbos Kodesh, when the Avoida in middle of Musaf is being recited, just a bit after the paragraph, the song of Mara Kayim, there's an entire paragraph that says, U'babanoseinu, with our chatoyim, ein lanu, we no longer have. And then the Machzor Musaf Yom HaKippurim goes on to list, Aleph to Tuf, two things for Aleph, two things for Beis, two for Gimel, two for Dalet, two for Hay, all the way to the end of the Aleph Beis. Dozens of things, two for each letter, that because of our great number of Averis, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have. When you turn to Mem, if we're talking about things that no longer exist because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you would expect it to say, we no longer have a Menorah. Two other things are mentioned for Mem. But one of the things that's noticeably missing from that list is it doesn't say we no longer have the Menorah, but it should. If the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of our great many Averis, then that's one of the things we've lost. So Reb Rachamim and Rebbe wanted to say, you know why it doesn't say that we lost the Menorah? Because we didn't lose the Menorah. We didn't lose the Menorah. Since the Menorah that we're talking about, according to the Ramban, is that our lighting the Menorah is a hemshach. There's that word we spoke about earlier. The continuity, the unbroken chain. Our lighting the menorah is a hemshach, a continuity and an unbroken chain of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. That's why in the Musaf Yom Kippur, many things are mentioned that we lost with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, unfortunately. But when it comes to Mem, two other things are mentioned. It does not say menorah, because menorah le'olam. Menorah le'olam. So you can't say we've lost it. If something is le'olam, we didn't lose it. How so? Because when we light, it's a hemshach, it's a continuity of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. And that means, and the Ramban speaks about it, and as I told you twice already, Rav Chaim Brim mentions it, when the menorah was lit in the Beis Hamikdash, me'ira b'chol ha'ilamos ha'elyonim, the lighting of that menorah in the Beis Hamikdash had the ability to light up the highest of the high, the greatest and deepest places in the Elyonim. As it says in the Beis Hamikdash, Me'ira b'chol ha'olamos ha'elyonim. That means, Meira v'Rabbi say, when there is a Yid that lights his menorah, now on Chanukah, wherever that Yid lives, and then makes the bracha, Shekicharam v'saitivero l'hadlik ner Chanukah, and the bracha of Shasa Nisim, that Yid is the hemshech, it's the continuity. Harehu doima ba'ose sha'a, I'm quoting the words, it's like at that moment, Avlokas Neiros, your doima compared to that when Aaron and the sons and the Chashmonoim, HaKedoshim v'Tahoyrim, were lighting in the Beis Hamikdash, and with our Havlaka, we be'ezus Hashem have the ability to tap into lighting u'meir ad ha'olamos ha'elyonim ke'ilu hu oimed bimkoim aron u'bana. How critical and imperative is it that a person is aware and fully cognizant of this pshat before lighting the menorah? When we light the menorah, please don't rush through it. Say the brachos with kavana, and think of the pshat we just said, that when a person is lighting the menorah, they are comparable at that moment, they're tying into the chain, to that of Aaron Ubon of lighting in the Beis Hamikdash, where that lighting was able to bring about the greatest light in the Olam Shel Yoinim. We can tap into that. We can continue that when we light our menorah. Don't rush. Take your time. Do it with kavana. Think of the meaning. Light with gefil and realize I'm not just lighting a menorah wherever I may live in the galus. I'm essentially daima to the lighting of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, and hence it's la'olam, la'olam. And as that menorah had the ability to accomplish in the Olam HaShel Yainim, so can our lighting. Our lighting has the ability to do the same. Our lighting has the ability, as we said when we started this year, to bring it full circle through an unbroken chain, to bring the Shechina into our nefesh, that's Mila, to bring the Shechina into our home, that Shabbos L'dirasam, and to bring the Shechina into Klal Yisrael, that's Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush Levana. When we light, think, daven, gefil, we could bring about Koychais in Olam HaShel Yainim. I want to conclude with one machshava that we mentioned a number of years ago, but I feel it's an appropriate way to conclude the shir. My father, Zatzal, would mention that if one takes a look at the Rambam, when the Rambam is speaking about the second bracha that's made, when you light the menorah, the lashon of the Rambam is, shasanisam avesenu bayama mahem ubazman hazeh. Now, we don't say it with a vav. We say, shasanisam avesenu bayama mahem bazman hazeh, which literally means we thank Hashem for the miracles that were done to our forefathers, by Yomim Ahim in those days, Bazman Hazeh during this period of time. But if you add the Vav by Yomim Ahim, Ooh Bazman Hazeh, you're thanking the Ribbono Shel not only for miracles that happened then, but Ooh Bazman Hazeh and miracles that occur to us today. My father's Atzal used to say, we don't paskin like the Rambam, we don't say with the Vav. But you should think about it with the Vav. When you're lighting and afterwards, think and contemplate. Take a moment or a number of them to reflect. You don't say it with the Vav, but think about it with the Vav. I thank the Ribbono Shel for the miracles that happened in those days. Ooh, Bazman Hazeh, and today. All of the nisim, the nefois, and toivos that we, as a yachad and a klal, have been the recipient and beneficiaries of. And why do I say it's critical to do that? We're showing the Ribbono Shel Olam how much we appreciate all that he gives us. I remember, and we've said it in the past, the Chaim Berlin Rosh Hashiva, Baron Schechter, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, once told me the Ribbono Shel Olam has tremendous, unlimited amounts of goodness to dispense. And he looks into this world to see who has a home address in a spiritual sense of Akaras HaTov. Who has a spiritual home address that they appreciate the gifts that Hashem has given? And it is to those homes and those people, the Ribbono Shel's kindness is unlimited. The Ribbono Shel Olam looks to seize the Rosh Hashiva, explained to me who has a home address spiritually that appreciates, recognizes and acknowledges the gifts and the goodness they've been, the kindness that they've been given by Hashem. And it's to those people and those homes that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to continue to give, for they indeed have the Hakaras HaTov for all that he has given. Chanukah is the time that we remind ourselves of the Shechina within us, our homes, and within Klal Yisrael. Although we don't say it with the Vav, think about it with the Vav. Ubazman Hazeh. All that we have to be grateful for. As we mentioned in the past, speak out every member. Talk out something that you have each and every night to be grateful and appreciative for. Ubazman Hazeh, recognize all of the goodness, and that's chus. May we continue to be the recipients and the beneficiaries of all of the limitless, all of the kindness that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. May we be zeichet to realize that when we are madlik our menorah, it's la'olam. It has the ability to bring out things in the Olamos HaElyonim. And in that schus, the Shechina, that's a very, very much a part, is who we are. May we taka bizaycha that we're able to witness the Bayis Shlishi and to see the hadlok of the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash Be'ezras Hashem. I wish everyone Taka good Shabbos, a lichtig, a Chanukah, and a gebenchte gesunte Chodesh.